All right. Well, I'm going to pray as we get started, and we're going to spend some time really thinking about the gift of Jesus and all that Good Friday means to us. So can I invite you to join with me in prayer? And we're just going to prepare our hearts. So Heavenly Father, we come together as your family, as people who have been rescued. And this morning, we want to just open our hearts afresh to you, to be filled with thanksgiving, to be filled with fresh understanding, fresh appreciation of everything that Jesus has done for us. And we bless you and ask for the help of your Holy Spirit this morning. Amen. All right. Well, in a moment, we're going to get started with our story that you'll need your boxes for. Just a couple of things to remind you of. On Easter Sunday, which is 2 days away when we're celebrating the resurrection, we're actually going to be sharing brekkie together. So 9 o'clock for a brekkie roll. I believe that the guys will be out there cooking delicious bacon and egg brekkie rolls. And then 9:30 for our service on this Sunday. So we're hoping that we will be able to celebrate together, because that is truly a day of celebration. All right, well, today, just do a bit of an explanation about what's going on. Today we'll be telling the stories of two great rescues. The first rescue was of God's people, the Jewish nation, who were being held as slaves in Egypt. And that happened more than 3,000 years ago. The second great rescue happened about 2,000 years ago and is still happening. The second rescue happened when Jesus, God's son and the long-promised rescuer, was executed on a Roman cross for crimes that he did not commit and then came back to life 3 days later. But now we're getting ahead of ourselves in the story. You might wonder why we're telling two stories of things that happened so long ago. But as we'll be reminded, we still need rescuing. And what Jesus has done for us is the greatest rescue that was ever carried out. So as you came in today, you received a container with some unusual things in it. Hand up who's peeked in their container. You couldn't help it, could you? That's all right. These things in your container are some of the foods that the Jewish people eat in their Passover feast. The Passover feast happens each year on a special night when all Jewish families sit down together and carry out a ceremony, reminding them of God's care for them and celebrating their rescue from slavery. Today, we're not going to do a whole Passover as the Jewish people would have done it. But we have chosen some of the food from their feast to help us to tell the story of that first rescue. And as we tell the story, we're going to invite you to eat the item that reminds us of what was happening for God's people so many years ago. So don't eat all of the different things at once. You have to wait. We're also going to ask children to sit with their parents, especially today, because that's always the way that the Passover story was told, in family groups sitting around the table. So if you want to gather up your beautiful children and make sure they have a pack, that's a great time to do it. Just a reminder that there are some nuts in one of, there's some walnuts in one of the items. So if anyone has a nut allergy, we do have some gluten-free and nut-free packs. Does anybody need a gluten-free or nut-free pack? Are you okay? Excellent. So Sarah is going to help me this morning to tell the story of that first rescue while I tell the story of the second rescue. Thanks, Sarah.
So the first thing we're going to eat today in your pack is the rocket. Open up. And you should find some green leaves. You can start munching on them while I'm talking. In the Jewish tradition, bitter herbs, or maror, are eaten at a Passover feast as a reminder of the bitterness of slavery. Thousands of years ago, the Israelites found themselves living as slaves in Egypt. They had no freedom, no hope of rescue, no connection to country, and they were under the rule of a harsh Egyptian master named Pharaoh. This was especially bitter for them because they were supposed to be God's chosen people. Many years before, God had made a promise to Israel that they would be his holy nation, different from all the other nations around them, so that everyone would know and love God just the way that Israel did. But instead of living that wonderful life with God, this group of people found themselves living and working as slaves in Egypt. They were disconnected from their identity and disappointed by broken promises. So, who would help these sad and hurting people? They needed a rescuer. One day, they remembered the promises that God had given them and they cried out to him. They said, God, please send someone to rescue us. And God, the promise keeper, heard their groaning and saw their situation.
Those slaves really did need rescuing. Imagine having to work day after day with no hope of freedom. I'm glad they called out to God for help and that God heard their cries. I wonder what he will do to rescue them. Hearing about God's people living as slaves reminds me of the second great rescue that we're talking about this morning. The rescue that happened when Jesus died on the cross. Now you might think, we live in Australia. We're not slaves. We're free to come and go. We get paid for our work. But you know, Jesus tells us an interesting thing. He said that everyone who sins is actually a slave to sin. Jesus isn't talking about our work situation when he tells this. He's actually talking about our hearts. That without God's help, we find our hearts can't help choosing things that God says are bad for us and bad for others. Things like selfishness and greed, hatred, wanting our own way, refusing to forgive, judging people we don't like or agree with. And without God to rescue us, we're trapped into living like this. We can't actually change our own hearts, even if we want to. Or we proudly live like God doesn't exist or doesn't really matter, even though he created us and gives us our breath each day. We actually make ourselves God, where we get to decide what we think is right or wrong, what's right for us. And we refuse to obey God's ways and believe we have no need for Jesus because we're fine by ourselves. Jesus calls this slavery. So that just like the Israelite people in Egypt, the human heart is a slave to its own sin and selfishness, and we need a rescuer too. Now, let's get back to hear about how God is going to help those people in Egypt.
The next thing out of your box that you're going to eat is a special paste made of apples and nuts and spices. This is the one with the walnuts in it. You're going to need to use your spoon. In a Passover feast, it is eaten as a reminder of the mortar and the bricks that the Israelites made for Pharaoh's special building projects. So, back to the story. Whilst Israel was crying out for a rescuer, God was preparing them one. His name was Moses. Moses was an Israelite who, through a completely wild series of events, ended up being adopted into the Egyptian royal family and was raised in Pharaoh's palace. Moses had freedom, he had hope, and he had connections, which he used to help Israel. He said to Pharaoh, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Let my people go so they may worship me in the wilderness." But Pharaoh didn't want to let the people go, and he didn't want them to go and worship God. Instead, he made them work even harder. Regardless of how hard they worked, he called them lazy and he punished them.
So, even with Moses to help them, God's people found themselves working even harder. They really did need God to rescue them. I wonder if people in our time ever find themselves working really hard too. Maybe working really hard to be good enough for God, or trying to make sure that the good things they've done are more than the bad things they've done. It's like if they work really hard, they'll be able to fix their own hearts and deserve to get to heaven. We call this religion. In religion, people work hard and do things. Maybe give money to the poor, or light a candle, or go to a place of worship, or try to live a good enough life so that God will accept them. But we can never be quite sure that we've done enough. People in religion often feel guilty, never truly forgiven or truly free, not to mention exhausted. And doing more and trying harder doesn't fix the heart problem that Jesus was talking about. So it is true that no matter how hard we work, it will never be enough. Just like the Israelites, we still need someone to rescue us.
Next, we're going to eat the piece of lamb. In a Passover feast, a lamb bone, which isn't actually eaten, represents the Passover lamb. Even when Pharaoh wouldn't let the Israelites go, God was still moving. Pharaoh refused to follow God's wisdom, and many plagues swept through Egypt. These plagues affected Egypt's land, its animals, and their people. During this time, Moses continued to advocate for Israel, and he gave Pharaoh many opportunities to turn around and make things right. Eventually, because of Pharaoh's hard heart, God sent a final plague. This plague would cause the death of the firstborn son in each Egyptian family. These deaths would cause great grief and loss and sorrow. This part of the story makes me uncomfortable. It's a mystery of God's goodness that I haven't worked out yet. But in this moment, God, the promise keeper, was thinking of his chosen people. And he made a way for all of the Israelites and their children to be safe. He commanded them to sacrifice a perfect lamb and put the blood of that lamb on their doorposts. This blood was a sign that the plague wouldn't come to their house or harm their sons. When the plague was over, Pharaoh finally allowed the Israelites to go.
So, it was the blood of the Passover lamb that allowed Israel to escape the plague of death. In his kindness, God made a way for them to be safe. Do you know that in Jesus' time, when the prophet John the Baptist introduced Jesus to everyone who was waiting for a rescuer, he called out and said to the crowd about Jesus, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John called Jesus the Lamb of God. Of course, Jesus wasn't actually a lamb. John was using a word picture from the Passover story to help people understand what Jesus was going to do. Just as the Passover lamb had to be a perfect lamb, Jesus was the perfect Son of God who never sinned. And just as the Passover lamb had to die so its blood could be put on the doorposts to protect the Israelites from death, Jesus was also going to die a terrible death on the cross so that his blood could rescue from death everyone who puts their trust in him. We know that our physical bodies still get old and die, but the Bible is talking about our spiritual lives, our forever lives. We need protection just like the Israelites did. Jesus said that people would die in their sins if they didn't believe in him, because sin and selfishness in our hearts always leads to death if it's not forgiven. In his kindness, God made a way for us to be saved from the death that our sin deserved by simply asking and trusting Jesus to forgive and rescue us. Jesus really is God's Lamb who takes away the sin of the world.
Now it's time to eat the flat bread in your pack. This has gluten in it. In a Passover feast, unleavened bread is eaten a number of times. And it's eaten as a reminder of the bread that Israel made the night that they were rescued. It was made without yeast because Israel left Egypt in such a hurry that they had no time to prepare their bread or any of their other food. On the night of the final plague, God's people were fully dressed and ready to travel. Suddenly, Moses told Israel that they had been made free. They followed Moses into the wilderness to begin their journey back to their land, back to their identity, and back to their freedom. However, Pharaoh changed his mind, and the Egyptian army pursued Israel. Miraculously, God parted the sea so that Israel could escape the Egyptians. In the Bible, Moses describes it in a poem like this: "At the blast of God's breath, the waters piled up. The surging waters stood straight like a wall. In the heart of the sea, the deep waters became hard." God kept his promise. Israel was rescued through the waters of the sea into freedom and into a new life where they were able to worship God and know him.
Whoa. Imagine the Jewish people having to leave in such a hurry the night of their rescue that they had no time to prepare their bread or wait for it to rise. That reminds me of another night when Jesus and his followers met together for their last meal together, the night before Jesus would die. Jesus and his friends were actually celebrating the Passover meal together that evening, and they would have been sharing food just like some of the food that we've been sharing. Jesus was going to use that Passover night to remind his followers who he wanted to be for them. You see, just as we need food and drink to keep our physical bodies alive, Jesus was reminding his followers and us that we also need a different sort of food, a spiritual food, so that the spiritual part of us can live now and forever. And Jesus says that he himself, knowing, trusting, and obeying him as our King, is our true forever life. Without Jesus to be our rescuer, we stay trapped in our sin and selfishness and death, just like God's people were trapped in Egypt. But Jesus gave his body and his blood, willingly dying on the cross so that you and I could be forgiven and come home to God, our Heavenly Father, who loves each one of us so deeply. Jesus, by his incredible sacrifice, opens the way to a brand new, abundant life. And our task? Simply to respond to his invitation. To believe for ourselves that he truly is the Lamb of God. When we ask Jesus to forgive us, he really does take away our sin, giving us a clean conscience and a fresh start, as well as promising to be with us forever. When we take communion, we remember with thankfulness the sacrifice of Jesus and his incredible offer of forgiveness. And we open our hearts and our ears to his Spirit, who wants to be with us and live in us forever. So now we're going to finish our time together by sharing in this simple act of remembering that we call communion. In a moment, we're going to play a beautiful song. And while it's playing, I'm going to invite you to take the small cup and to whisper a thank you prayer to Jesus as you eat the little wafer on the top and drink the juice from the cup. If you've never trusted Jesus to be your forgiver, your rescuer, your saviour, can I urge you to ask him to do that as you talk to him during the song? Because there truly is a full, free, rescued life waiting for everyone who puts their trust in Jesus. And if you already know and trust Jesus, perhaps you can take the time to just tell him how much you love him, to thank him for his incredible gift of love and life, and to remember his words that those who truly love him choose to show their love by obedience to him. Let's listen to this song now and talk in our spirit with Jesus as we come towards the end of our service today. Jesus, we're so thankful for your body broken, your blood poured out for us, for the forgiveness of sin. We're so thankful for the sacrifice of love. We're so thankful that your blood has power still. Today we bring our remembering, we bring our thankfulness. And we worship you. Our Saviour, our Rescuer, and our God. Amen. you invite you, just as our service, that official part of our service is finished, but what we'd like to do is just to invite you, you know, ask Tash to just put on that beautiful song again. And we're just going to invite you to just sit and have your own opportunity to quietly be with God. And when you are ready, just want to invite you, if you can move outside or like out into the foyer or outside as you're ready to go, so that other people who might just want to sit and reflect quietly can do that, not disturbed. Thank you for being part of our time together this morning. I trust that it's been an opportunity for us to really reflect on both the incredible scope of God throughout history as he sets up the Passover thousands of years before Jesus dies in actual preparation for us to understand who Jesus is and what he's done for us. So thanks for being part of that. Just want to invite you to just spend some time again with God and then move out quietly so others can just be reflecting. Thanks, everyone.